Good morning. Pastor Gary likes to say that the longest walk is from like his seat to up here. It's especially true when you get to talk on submission. All right. Actually, I'm excited. I actually really like this topic. I know that that's not what most people like, but I actually do, and we'll talk about that part in a minute. But before we get started in our study this morning, I'm going to do this later tonight, so I'm confused. All right, so this morning, I want to talk about next week. Next week, we're going to be taking a small break from 1 Peter, and Mipha is going to be doing a teaching on prayer and worship, and we're going to be having an extended time of prayer and worship together. I'm very excited about this. I think this is going to be such an amazing morning, such a great week to get your day going, or great way to get your day going, to get your week going. So we will not have any homework next week, and we're not going to have any snack next week. So you can mourn that part now. But it's going to be amazing. Come out. I know sometimes there's this tendency to be like, oh, we're not doing the homework or whatever, but prayer. We are to pray without ceasing. We are to worship the King of Kings. That is what we are called to do, and how amazing that we get to do it together corporately, and that's built into our study. And so I would encourage you not to think that this is any less than. It is going to be an amazing morning, and I think the Holy Spirit's really going to meet us here next Tuesday. So I would encourage you for that. All right. All the guys, after last week, when I lost half of my notes and had to walk off, all the guys were like, you need an iPad, Amanda. And I was like, oh, I don't like technology. And they bugged me about it all day long. Till finally I was like, fine, I'll try teaching with it at night. We'll see how it goes. They were right. I really liked it. So I got an iPad. We're going to see how this goes. I don't really know how to work it. Earlier, it was dinging. text messages were coming through, and I couldn't figure out how to turn the volume off. So I think I turned the volume down, but if it dings, I'm really sorry. I'm trying hard. And if something happens to the iPad, I also have my notes. I'm double prepared. Because last time I had to walk off stage, and that was embarrassing. And it will live in infamy on YouTube for the rest of my life. It'll be great. God loves to keep me humble. So today we are going to be talking about submission. I know that most people would not say that's their favorite topic. I know that just mentioning that word, there's already people in this room that have already put up a wall. And they've already been like, oh, great, here we go. She's going to talk about this. And I know this because I was that person. That when someone said submit, I'd be like, oh, okay, here we go. Someone's going to tell me how my husband's supposed to control me, or how this, or how that. I was a strong, independent woman, but who was married, so it didn't really work out very well some days. Just being totally honest. You guys, I used to tell Chris, when we were first married, so bad. I used to tell him, I don't need you. Talk about like stabbing a guy, right? Like I used to tell him, I don't need you. I choose to be with you, as if I was God's gift to man. Like, good night, how prideful. And he stayed married to me, shockingly enough. We've been married for 20 years now, which is awesome. And it gets easier, I think. I don't know if anybody else thinks that who's been married a long time, but I think it gets so much easier, and it gets so much more fun. I love being married. I love submitting to Chris. I love that he has the responsibility and I don't. It's really pretty awesome. And so I really like submission. Now when people are like, submission, I'm like, oh, let's talk about it. Yes, this is so fun. So I would encourage you today that if you immediately, when I said the word submission, put up a wall, just take the wall down. Just hear me out. Hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you today. And come talk to us. Like, come talk to me, Chris. I think that's all that's here this morning. But come talk to any of us. We would love to talk with you. But let's pray before we get started. Dear God, I just thank you so much for who you are, Lord. I thank you so much for how you designed your world, Lord, for the structure that you have set up, for the boundaries that you have put in place to keep your people safe, to help us be at peace. God, I pray that as we look at your word today, Lord, it might be uncomfortable for some of us. Lord, it might be something that makes us cringe inside. God, I pray that walls would come down. Lord, I pray that it would be your heart that everybody hears today, that it would be your heart on submission, that people understand, that it wouldn't be me telling them how to behave, that it would be you, and that they would see the beauty in how you designed submission. God, we thank you. I thank you for each woman that's here today. We love you and we praise you. Amen. Submission is an important foundational principle for the Christian life. Last week, Nancy walked us through the second half of 1 Peter chapter 2, looking at how Christ is the perfect example of submitting to authority, even when he was suffering unjust treatment. This week, we open with Peter telling wives that they are to submit to their husbands in the same manner that Jesus submitted to God. Let's look at verse 1, but first I'm going to get a tissue because my nose is... Thank you. Look at Chris. Chris is so helpful. Thank you, Chris. Let's look at verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward. Thank you. Outward arranging the hair, or wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Okay. All right. The word submission is actually translated subjection, and this is a military term that means to place under rank. God is a God of order, he is a God of structure, and he's even a God of boundaries. Submission is not a better than. Oh, this person's better. This person has a better status. It's not a status thing. It's not one person better. It's just different by design. It's just a structure. As you read through his word, you're going to see that he has perfectly set up the structure of the government, the judicial and legal systems, the structure of the home, as well as the structure of marriage and family. The Bible is our manual for how to do life. Culturally, we become prideful in thinking that we can define things the way that we want to, that we can redefine what a man and a woman are, that we can redefine what marriage and family is. But God is the creator, not only of the world, but of all the world's institutions, and we do not get to redefine the things that he originally created. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's workmanship. We are his creation. The creation does not get to tell the creator what it is. How prideful have we become to think that we can redefine God's terms? Submission is not just something I get to choose to do. It is a biblical command. Throughout Scripture, we see examples of submission. Hebrews 13:17 tells us that we are to submit to our leaders, and the leaders must give an account to God. James 4:7 tells us that we are to submit to God and resist the devil. Job 22:21 says we are to submit to God and be at peace with him. Colossians 3:18 tells wives to be submitted to their husbands. In Luke 2:51, we see that Jesus submitted to his earthly parents' authority. How weird must that have been? But he submitted to their authority. It wasn't about who is better, who's more perfect. Clearly, his parents weren't perfect. He was. But he still submitted to their authority. The Christian life is a life lived in submission to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's following his commands. God calls us to submit to governing authorities, to our bosses. He calls children to submit to parents. And one of the most important places we are called to submit is in our marriages. Wives are called to submit to their husbands, and it is probably one of the hardest places to submit. God lays out the structure for marriage very clearly in Ephesians 5:22 to 28. Let's take a look. In verse 22 of Ephesians 5, he says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to her, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Marriage was created by God himself, and he designed it with male headship. You might not like that, but he did. The husband is the head of the home. In a godly, biblical marriage, as the husband submits to Christ, the wife will submit to the husband. And this is God's perfect design, and when followed, it will lead to happy, healthy, and fulfilled marriages. The current rate of divorce in our country is 42%. I actually thought it was higher, because last time I had kind of researched this, it was closer to 50%. And so I looked. Over the past 10 years, the divorce rate has actually gone down a bit. But interestingly enough, the marriage rate has also gone down in 10 years. During this same time period, our culture has started to try and redefine what a man is, what a woman is, what marriage is, and what family is. And today we live in a world where the majority has forgotten that it is God who made man. It is God who made woman, and it is God who created and defined the institution of marriage. His design of marriage is beautiful and perfect, but not easy. It's not without heartache. It is one thing to submit to a perfect God, but it is another and much harder road to walk to submit to another sinful human being. Galatians 2:20 says that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Dying to self and letting my husband lead is hard. Too often in marriage, we tend to keep the score. Have any of you guys done that before? Right? We keep a record of what our spouse did right. We keep a record of what they did wrong. Well, he didn't say he loved me, so I don't have to say it. He's not loving me very well, so I don't have to be very loving to him. He didn't help with the house or the kids, or he didn't complete his house project in a time frame or a manner that I wanted. And we assume hurt and intention in our husband's hearts, and it drives a wall between us. It's exactly what the enemy wants. We keep going in this vicious circle, round and round, justifying our sinful and rebellious attitude, refusing to submit to our husbands. Love keeps no record of wrongs. And yet so many of us are saying that we love our husband, but we have conditions, and we are keeping a record of wrongs. We are disobeying God when we do that. We are directly sinning. At some point, someone needs to stop. We need to stop the cycle, stop keeping the record of wrongs. We often justify our lack of submission by saying that our husband has not earned it. But ladies, God has called us to submit to our husbands, irregardless of if he has earned it. Submission is understanding that there is order, that we each have a job and a role that we are responsible for. It's staying in my lane and taking care of my peace because I know that my husband is taking care of his peace. And that even if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do and take care of his peace, that he has to answer to God for that. It is not my peace to fix or take on. God does not view submission as a lower position. It's just a different role. When I come to work here, I have a role to play. I am Pastor Patrick's assistant. I do not walk into his office and tell him how he is going to run children's ministry or tell him what to do or plan all the ministry things. I don't walk into James's office and say, hey, Pastor James, this is what you should teach on Sunday, or I didn't like your message, you should have said this. I don't tell him when he should do communion or hold a baptism. That's not my place. No, I am to submit to their authority. I have to stay in my own lane, the lane that God gave me. And when we all stay in our lane everywhere in our lives, there is more happiness, there is more peace, and there is calm. Because we're respecting other people's appointed roles. Submission is about respecting the God-given authority that each person has been given by God. Some of you will say that you are submitted to your husband and that you have no problem doing that. But I want to challenge you to really evaluate your heart and your motive. Submission is a matter of the heart, and only God truly sees the heart. See, there can be a difference between obeying and submission. I recently heard G. McClure say that if your husband asks you to sit down, you might sit down physically, but in your heart, you could be standing. And you might be obedient in action, but you are not submissive in heart, and that's just as sinful. The Lord looks at the heart. I might be submitting on the outside, but I am rebelling on the inside. God knows it. God cares about our character. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Ladies, we can do all the right things. We can have all the right behavior. We can look like the good wife, the perfect employee, the perfect Christian. But if inside I am rebelling and I am defiant in my mind, then I am just a noisy gong. Submission is a demonstration of our faith. My ability and choice to submit is directly tied to my trust in God. Your ability and choice to submit is directly tied to your trust in God. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has good plans for us, not plans to harm us. Do you believe that verse? Like, do you actually truly believe it and put that belief into practice? Because if we truly believed it, then we will obey his commands. All of them. Submission is an act of trust. If God has commanded me to submit to my husband, do I trust God enough to follow his command and submit my will and authority to my husband? I should, because God has proven himself trustworthy in my life, and I'm sure he has in yours too. If you are struggling to submit, there is a deeper trust issue going on. Maybe you have trouble submitting to your husband because you don't trust him. And you would honestly say that you don't trust your husband enough to submit him. But I want to ask you, do you trust God? As the wife, God has called you to submit. It is your role. There is no exception. God did not say when your husband earns the right to be submitted, then you can submit. I've looked. Trust me, because remember, I didn't like this word. I looked. Nowhere does it give you an excuse, unless he's asking you to sin against God. Then that's the excuse. But other than that, you're to submit. He doesn't have to earn it. No, submission is part of the design and the structure of marriage. And if I trust God like I say I do, then I will follow him and I will be obedient to his word and submit to my husband. Because I know that God doesn't have plans to harm me. But he has plans to give me hope. And I want hope in my marriage. Submitting to your husband tells your husband that you trust his leadership. It can be scary. It can be vulnerable to trust another person with the decisions for your life. But that is exactly what the marriage covenant is. The marriage covenant is the wife submitting to her husband and her husband loving her like Christ loved his church. Christ loved the church so much that he died for her. And look, I don't want to be naive and think like, oh, all the husbands are totally worthy of being submitted to. They're not. Some of you have husbands that are not upholding their end of the marriage covenant. But that does not give you permission to not submit to your husband. Men crave respect. If we honor and submit God will use that to minister to our husbands. A male who feels respected will grow into a strong leader. But a male who is not respected will grow weak and resentful. Submission is a hard but beautiful once you learn to lean into it. It frees the husband up to make the decision easier because he knows that the wife's not going to fight him on it. And it frees the wife up because she knows that she doesn't have to answer to God for it. I love that. He has to answer to God for those decisions. I just have to answer, did I follow him? If he led me astray, dude, he's going to have to pay. God says vengeance is his. It doesn't need to be mine. I'm just saying. But the reality is if we dutifully follow our husbands and we follow God's design for marriage, you are both going to grow stronger and closer to God through this process of submission. For most of our marriage, I actually made more than my husband financially. That's not an issue. That's not a submission issue, okay? Don't get caught in those kinds of things. But for the first 7 to 10 years, I also paid all the bills. I was the one responsible for managing all the money. And to this day, Chris would tell you that I'm better with money than he is. And I actually enjoy managing money. And so back then, we would have said that that worked for me to be in charge of the finances. Again, it wasn't a submission issue. Chris was fine with that. That's kind of how we had set stuff up. But as much as I like managing money, it was something that over time, it began to cause stress in our marriage. I would be checking our bank account, and then I would start asking him, why did you go here today? Why did you buy lunch over there? What did you do here? And I started to treat him like a child. I slipped into a parenting role, questioning him on how he spent our money when he really didn't deserve it. He wasn't doing anything crazy. It wasn't a couple discussing their finances. It was me actually questioning him and his behavior. It was me stepping into an authoritative role and telling him he had to submit to me financially. After praying about it, Chris came to me one day and said that he felt that God was telling him to take over our finances. So, I reluctantly gave our finances over to him. It lasted about a month. Okay, I'm being very vulnerable. It lasted about a month. And then he did it wrong. He did it wrong. And so I told him that he did it wrong. How nice of me, right? Very helpful. But here's the thing. Every bill was paid. He did it different than I did. And I did not think that I didn't think that his way was going to help us financially in the long run. But he didn't do anything wrong. He just did it different than me. And so when I confronted him and told him that he did it wrong, he of course said, fine, take it back. And he gave it back to me. Because men are willing to give it back, right? If we are not going to submit, they are not going to fight. They're going to be like, fine, go ahead, have it your way if this is how you're going to be. And I'm difficult. I'm difficult. I know I am. So about a year later, he came to me again. And he said he felt like God was telling him that he was to manage the finances. He let me know that he was going to do it differently than me because he's not me. And that he was going to do it his way and that I needed to choose to trust him. I had a choice in that moment to submit or not submit. I could choose to trust Chris and God with control of our finances, or I could continue to hold on to the finances out of fear that I don't have control. I could choose fear or trust. The first time I chose fear and I took the finances back. The second time I chose to trust. God has never let me down. Chris has never let me down. I had to choose full submission. I had to purpose in my heart that Chris was going to lead his family by managing our finances. For me, on a practical level, I had to put boundaries in place. And so on a practical level, to keep me from slipping back into my old ways, that looked like me deleting my bank account app. It looked like me not checking our bank account very often. And I know for some people that sounds crazy. That might sound like, well, Chris has all the money, you have no idea. That's not true at all. I totally know everything, and I have access to everything. But because I know myself, I know that if I look once, I'm going to start looking all the time, and I'm going to slip back into a parenting role, and I'm going to treat him like a child. See, if I would have given Chris the finances, I would check it every day. I would have been more obedient and not submissive. I would have been checking up on him in my heart, in my mind, and wondering why he was doing the things that he was. And so I had to purpose in my heart that I was going to respect my husband's role as the head of our household and let him manage our finances without babysitting his every financial move. Obedience is not the same thing as submission. And if God commands me to submit, I want to honor and obey that. Our submission has the ability to positively influence our husband's relationship with Jesus and those around them. Some of you have spouses that are not believing, and so the idea of submitting and giving control to them is extra hard. But marriage is a covenant. We each have to answer to God for how we handled the role that he gave us. I have to answer to God about my role as a wife, a mother, an employee, a citizen. I do not have to answer how my husband handled his God-given roles. I just have to place my trust and faith in God. I have to obey him and watch him handle the rest. Our submission, our obedience to Christ, makes us stand out, and God will use our submission to draw others to him. God made men and women different by design. For a woman to feel loved, she wants attention and affection and words of affirmation. We want to talk. For a man to feel loved, he wants respect. He wants to feel like the people in his life can trust him, that they can rely on him. He wants to be needed. And when we give that to our husband, even if they're non-believers, we are telling them thank you for the hard work that they do for their family. When we let him make decisions without nagging or making a comment about those decisions, that is loving them. And that can build them up so quickly. And there has been many women in this very church who, because they submitted to God, they influenced their husbands with their submissive behavior, and those very unbelieving husbands, mind you, came to know Jesus Christ. I've seen many husbands that, I'm going to be honest, I was like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. And then one day, I'm like, what in the world, God? And it is a direct result of their wife's submission. As women, we have influence. The world will tell you that submission is a dirty word and that it's oppressive to women, but it is the exact opposite. Submission is powerful and gives us as women an influence and a voice into our husbands' and others' lives. My husband cares about my opinion. He talks to me about all the decisions that he has to make, and we pray together and we talk about them, but ultimately, he is the deciding factor. And that is freeing for me. I don't have to make those decisions. There has been so many times when there's been decisions to be made about the kids' school or about medical decisions, and they weigh so heavy on me. And we'll talk about it and we'll pray about it. And at the end of it, he says, this is what we're going to do. And I didn't have to make a decision. I'm like, oh, great, I'm just going to follow you. This is freeing. And he's never led me wrong because he's submitted to God. God never lets us down. Submission is very specifically designed by God. And sometimes the things that God creates, man tries to recreate for power. And unfortunately, some people have tried to use submission to abuse and control others. And so I want to be clear. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that as women, we are to submit to all men. That is an abuse of authority. There are some pastors and teachers out there that will teach that, but that is not biblical, and they will have to answer to God for that one day. Women are not less than men. We are different by design. Scripture tells us that we are to submit to God, children to submit to parents, wives to husbands. We're to submit to governing authorities and to our employers and our bosses, but never does it say a blanket, women are to submit to men. So if you're here today and you're not married, I want to give you a little piece of advice. You are not to submit to a boyfriend. Boyfriends do not get husband privileges. I'm going to say it again. Boyfriends don't get husband privileges. But if you are dating, what you should look for is a man who you would feel comfortable submitting to. A man who is honoring God and honoring you by treating you according to how God's word says he should treat you. And likewise, although you are not submitting to your boyfriend, because I told you no, you should be showing him that you would have that ability to be a submissive wife when that day comes and you enter into that marriage covenant. Show that you can have a gentle spirit. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Peter uses Sarah as an example of what submission looks like. And in Genesis 18:12, she refers to Abraham as Lord. Now, no, she did not walk around calling him Lord in front of everybody. This was just a term to show that she recognized Abraham as the head of the household. God's not asking you to call your husband Lord, okay? Don't, just gonna be real. That would be weird. Don't be weird. Like, people already think Christians are weird. Don't be weird, okay? Sarah submitted to Abraham's authority. Even when he was wrong, Sarah submitted to his authority. We see in Genesis 12 that when they were entering Egypt, he told her to say that she was his sister. He asked her to lie. And out of submission to him, she did that. Abraham was wrong. That was not what God called him to do, but she honored her husband and she told the guards that that was her brother. And yet, even in Abraham's disobedience, God honored her submission and protected her. She does not have to pay for submitting to Abraham in that. He has to pay for asking her to do something that she shouldn't have done. Her husband was not perfect. And there must have been many times that she wondered if what he was doing the right choice. I think about Isaac. You know, as he's getting ready to take Isaac, and he's getting the bundles of wood, and he's going to go sacrifice Isaac, what was she thinking? Like, I would have been like, over my dead body, dude. Like, you cannot have my Isaac. Like, but she honored Abraham. She respected his role as the head of the household. And she honored God. And God honored her for her submission. Sarah purposed in her heart to let Abraham lead her. And he was not perfect at it. Yet she still led him. She still let him lead. And she let him figure out his mistakes. And as a result, he grew into the father of many nations. As she is honored, she's remembered for her strong faith. He is remembered as the father of many nations, and she is remembered for her faith, as it says in Hebrews 11. Jesus Christ was the only person to ever walk this earth in perfection, and yet he was punished by death on a cross for actions and sins that he didn't commit. By anyone's definition, he did not deserve to die, and he would have been just in standing up for himself. But Jesus didn't stand up for himself. No, Jesus submitted to the governing authorities. He submitted to God the Father, and he took on my sin, he took on your sin, and he went to the cross. Matthew 26:39, we see Jesus crying out, "Father, oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." In the face of direct and unjust persecution, Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. Lord, your will be done. Jesus is our perfect picture of submission. We all submit to something in this life. It is naive to think that you're going around not submitting to anything, or that submission isn't relevant to you. Because the reality is, we are all submitting to someone or something in our lives. I read this the other day. Satan disguises submission to himself under the ruse of personal autonomy. He never asks us to become his servants. Never once did the serpent say to Eve, "I want to be your master." The shift in commitment is never from Christ to evil. It is always from Christ to self. And instead of his will, self-interest now rules, and what I want reigns. And that is the essence of sin. I have no idea who wrote that, but it's total truth. We are all submitted to something. If we choose not to submit where God has called us to submit, then we are submitting to self. And when submitting to self, we are submitted to the tactics of the enemy. Marriage is a picture of the church. Maybe you're not married today, but you're here in church and you're part of this body of believers. The Bible calls us the bride of Christ. And so likewise, we are the church to be submitted to Jesus. How we live our life should be a reflection that I follow Jesus and his word. The church does not get to decide what is true about the Bible and what is not true. They don't get to take pieces of it that they want to follow and leave the pieces that they don't want to follow. If you say you are a Christian, you are commanded to live a life in submission to Christ. He is the author and the creator of your life. Do you trust him enough to follow him in full submission to all of his commands? Are you living a life in submission to God? Or are you doing things your way and trying to fit God into the areas that you see fit? As Sarah called Abraham Lord, let's call God the Lord of our lives. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for how you have designed and structured marriage and church and all the institutions to protect us. Lord, that they are our covering. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much, that you honor us as women. Lord, I pray that as we sit around our table time tonight, today, Lord, if we are struggling with submission, if this is an area that just is raw and just hurts our heart, Lord, I pray that there can be healing. Lord, I feel that we would hear your heart on this issue, God, and that it would draw us closer to you. Help us to submit our lives fully to you, God, and not hold on to any sin anywhere in our lives. We thank you. We praise you for your work on the cross, God. Your name we pray. Amen.